Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals at the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
My youngest loves lobster rolls, and now they've sort of split it up where you get a small one or you get a big one. I think the last place I went, the small one was 23 and the big one was 37. $37. And so I was just reading, you know, I poke around for everything Connecticut, and I think Tom Dutchek's Capital Report picked up the story from the National Geographic. It's nationalgeographic.com. The story of how the lobster roll became New England's most iconic food. And I talked about this earlier. What I love about this job and what I love about sort of modern technology is you can always see if the person who wrote it wants to talk about it. And in this case, the answer is yes. So Robin Catalano, who's a freelance travel and conservation journalist, a bunch of different publications, joining us now on Brian and Company. First of all, Robin, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Where are you?
I am based in upstate New York, but I am a native New Englander.
Nice. Where in New England? In Rhode Island, I bet, is my guess. If I'm reading the piece, I feel like you're from Rhode Island.
Exactly. How did you guess?
I could tell. I could just tell from the piece. Well, it's really good to talk to you. And again, you write for a whole bunch of publications, and you just have to Google Robin Catalano, Catalano, to see her piece or go to her website. You know, I am not a writer in the way that you are, but I've written over the years. I got my start in print newspapers. I'm just curious, like as a freelancer, like do you just say like, oh, I want to write a piece on lobsters, and then you pitch it to a bunch of places and they say yes, and then they say go? Like, how do you get to write on something like this?
It's pretty much just what you described. I usually find a story or a lead or an interesting angle. I create a pitch. I send it out to publications. And sometimes it goes out to many, many publications before one of them picks it up. In this case, it felt like a National Geographic story, especially the new National Geographic, which is a little bit different from the one we remember growing up. So I went straight to them with it, and they picked it up pretty quickly.
Yeah, it's fun, and obviously summertime. You know, I spent a lot of time on Cape Cod, and lobster rolls are. I mean, you'll have side of the road lobster rolls, and you'll have the fancy ones, and all the different iterations of it. But I'm just curious, you know, because you take a bit of a look back on the history of it. Like, was it always like a high end delicacy? Tell us about the history and the transition from just food to $37 for a hot dog, bun, and some lobster.
I think that's the big question everybody's asking these days. And no, it wasn't a high-end food. Back in the day, it was just the food of people who lived on the coastline. And the lobster roll itself came about because mostly people in the fishing industry, so this might be shipbuilders or fishermen themselves, they were using lobster, which was very plentiful back in the 1700s and 1800s, so plentiful that you could fish it in shallow waters. They were using the lobster as just a shipboard meal. So they might take the meat and tuck it between slices of bread. And that became the very earliest iteration of the lobster roll. It was undressed, so no mayonnaise, no butter like we know it today, just sort of the plain lobster meat on plain bread. But that is the beginning of the lobster roll. It doesn't really start to get popular as a food or as a high status food until around the Gilded Age, when a lot of these very wealthy people who used summer as a verb used to come out and build cottages along the shore, particularly in Rhode Island, if you're familiar with the Newport mansions. That is when it really became sort of, something with cachet. So it wasn't until that time that lobster was really considered an important food or something you would want to eat.
You know, we're talking with Robin Catalano, and in the pieces in National Geographic, about the history of the lobster roll. So, and is the price, the current pricing, because it's always market price now, is that solely because of the warming ocean waters and the dwindling populations, or are there other factors at play?
It's a little bit of a mix. So the folks that I spoke to for my story mentioned that the declining populations are definitely the biggest driving factor. And there's a lot of reasons for that, although climate change is definitely the number one. So populations have declined about 40% off in the Gulf of Maine and about 97% in Long Island Sound right off of Connecticut. So that is definitely a really big determinant for why the pricing has gone up. But another reason the pricing has gone up is that lobster rolls are popular. Mm. They became really popular in the 1990s with this movement back toward discovering American foods. And ever since then, we've seen the prices skyrocket, especially in the summer. And why is that? Because that's when the tourists are around. So that, you know, $27 or $37 lobster roll, that is really tourist price lobster roll.
Yeah. And, you know, what's fascinating is that there are basically two styles, right? There's a warm and a cold. I think the warm is like sort of more the butter and the cold is more the mayonnaise. Is that, I mean, how do you, give me the definition of the warm and the cold.
Yeah, so there are the two styles. So the warm style is considered Connecticut style,
and it's
credited to Perry's Restaurant in Milford, Connecticut, which is no longer there. But at the time, the owner was serving his version of a lobster roll to one particular client. And the theory is that it became popularized from there. So the warm withdrawn butter style of lobster roll, that's what we associate with Connecticut. The cold style, which is more of a salad with mayonnaise and perhaps some chopped celery or scallion and spices, that is usually attributed to Maine. And there's a diner in Maine called Moody's Diner that often gets the credit for it. There really isn't conclusive evidence that they were the originator of the recipe, but those have become the two predominant styles over time. And of course, there's lots of debate as to which one is the best one.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, which one's more popular?
Ooh, that's a really tough question. You know, the chefs that I interviewed for this story all were pretty firmly on the side of the Connecticut style, with the exception of maybe one. For somebody like me who grew up in Rhode Island, I really always enjoyed the Maine style lobster roll. That was the one that was more popular when I was growing up. So I guess I have a little bit more nostalgia for that. And when I get a lobster roll, it's usually the Maine style.
I'm the same way. It's like a lobster salad. You know what I mean? That's really what it sort of is. It just with a little piece of lettuce and maybe a hot dog potato bun that's grilled and buttered, and I'm ready to go. Robin Catalano, and again, you can go to nationalgeographic.com to see the piece. And she's a freelance travel and conservation journalist joining us here on Brian and Company. Just last question in terms of like all your travels and all your you know research, where did you find the one you liked the most?
Ooh, this is such a great question. I'd have to name a couple of them. So Red's Eats in Wiscasset, Maine, very, very famous. It's been profiled in tons of articles. It also has appeared on TV shows like Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. It's sort of that quintessential clam shack experience, and I think their lobster roll is very, very good. For someone like me who is a dedicated Maine-style lobster roll fan, I really love Iggy's in Warwick. That was a place that I went to a lot as a kid, and I still go every time I visit Rhode Island. I have to visit Iggy's. And then this weekend, actually, I was out in coastal New Hampshire, and I came across a great place, a small shack, not right on the coast, a little bit inland, not far, called The Hungry Lobster. It's in Rye, New Hampshire. This is a super friendly place. They have a nice, generous size roll, very, very fresh, really well prepared. And to me, that's kind of the best sort of lobster roll, where the meat itself is nice and fresh, and the flavor is really coming through.
Okay, so Iggy's in Warwick, Rhode Island. You have the Hungry Lobster in Rye, New Hampshire. And was it called Red's? Red's Eats? Is that what it is?
Red's Eats. Yep, Red's Eats in Wiscasset, Maine.
Awesome. Well, listen, Robin, it's great to connect, and maybe we'll get a chance to talk down the road. It was a really fun piece, and especially for the summertime. So we appreciate the time.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks so much, Brian.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The days are getting shorter, but the lights couldn't be brighter. This time of year, baseball is different, and the whole world is watching. All of the clutch hits, the game-saving grabs, the plays at the plate, and the head-first slides under the tag. That's peak baseball. Experience all of the autumn action. It's postseason season. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.